Namaste, dear beautiful hearts. I hope that you had a great day, and I want to add a little more love, light, and universal harmony to your day, hopefully. In this episode, in order to pursue our spiritual ascension, I will share two ascending breath healing methods with you. The first one in the palatine uvula, and the second one in the tip of the nose. Then I will share some beautiful, inspiring wisdom with you from this wonderful book I started reading to you in the 8th episode, entitled The Green Witch, Your Complete Guide to the Natural Magic of Herbs, Flowers, Essential Oils, and More, written by Arin Murphy Hiscock. I will finish reading the first chapter, entitled What is Green Witchcraft? And I will play the harp for you as usual. This is a new composition of mine, entitled Il Fiore di Daniele Andrea, Daniel Andrew's Flower in Italian. It is dedicated to the wonderful actor and beautiful artist Daniel Andrew Sharman, whose artistic creativity inspires me like the work of an angel, and I hope that you will enjoy it and that it will soothe and comfort you. You can use my ascending mobile breath healing method in the palatine uvula to heal sore throats and all breathing problems, including serious symptoms like coughing and heaviness of the chest, by raising the vibration of your whole breathing system simply through this breathing technique. The palatine uvula, as I have explained in the 10th episode, being the little organ situated at the back of the throat, connected to the center of the soft palate, composed of connective tissue containing a number of racemos glands and some muscular fibers. Racemos glands are compound alveolar glands, being glands that have a sac-like secretory portion and are also termed sacular glands, typically having an enlarged lumen or cavity, hence the name similar to alveoli, the very small air sacs in the lungs. The palatine uvula also contains many serous glands, which produce thin saliva. Therefore, the palatine uvula is connected to the lungs, and raising its vibration by raising our breath in this part of our body enables the lungs to be raised as well, purifying our breath, therefore making our whole beings lighter. So now I will ask you to sit as comfortably as you can, with a straight spine, legs folded in front of you, flat on the ground. Hold your shoulders back and keep your chin tucked in. Slowly bring your two hands to your heart center, palms pressed together, fingers pointing upwards, thumbs close to your chest in Anjali Mudra, and slowly bring your hands back down. Place your two hands, palms resting down on each of your knees, with the tip of your thumb lightly touching the tip of your index finger in Gnana Mudra, symbolizing wisdom or knowledge, or in Dhyani Mudra, symbolizing the enlightenment, and which requires you to have the back of your right hand resting on the palm of your left hand, with the tips of your two thumbs raised and lightly touching one another. The hands folded in this manner rest in the lap. The right hand resting on top symbolizes the state of enlightenment. The other hand resting below symbolizes the world of appearance. Dhyani mudra is very beneficial to establishing peace of heart and confidence in your body. You can also be seated on a chair, holding your spine straight, palms down on your knees. Keep your mouth closed, close your eyes, and rest. First, focus on the irises of your eyes and recenter them. Focus on your left iris and guide it to the exact center of your left eye while breathing slowly and deeply, inhaling and exhaling through your nose. Then, focus on your right iris and guide it to the exact center of your right eye while breathing slowly and deeply, inhaling and exhaling through your nose. Now, try keeping both your left and right irises centered at the same time while still breathing slowly and deeply. Visualize your palatine uvula situated at the back of your throat and connect it to your soft palate in the center. With your inner eye, focus your conscious breathing in this precise point of your throat. Breathe inside of your throat, this time with your palatine uvula and not with your nose, slowly and profoundly, inhaling with your palatine uvula at the back of your throat and exhaling still with your palatine uvula. Usually you'll feel that your breath, when stimulated in your palatine uvula, naturally comes out of your nose. Gently and slowly inhale from the point of your palatine uvula with your throat, but this time instead of exhaling through your nose, slowly and gently lift your breath inside your palatine uvula upwards inside the back of your throat, in the direction of your brain, continually. While breathing inside of your throat in this precise point, lift your palatine nevula slowly with your breathing so that you feel the air inside of your palatine nevula ascending continually as if it was rising upwards inside of your brain. Explore the calm space inside of you, emanating from the appeasement of this breathing exercise in this part of your body, and allow who you truly are to be revealed in this very important part of your body, connected to your voice. After several breaths using this method, start breathing normally again, inhaling and exhaling through your nose. You can also apply the ascending mobile breath healing method to the tip of your nose to heal breathing problems that manifest as a bloating of the digestive system and discomfort or swelling in the belly if you need to. You will only need to use the same breathing method as I have just described it to lift the palatine nevula, except that in this instance, you are still breathing inside of your throat, inhaling with your palatine nevula, but when exhaling, it is the air inside of the tip of your nose that you lift upwards. You visualize your palatine nevula with your inner eye and focus your conscious breathing in this precise point of your throat. Breathe inside of your throat with your palatine nevula slowly and profoundly. And this time, instead of lifting your breath upwards inside of your palatine nevula, when exhaling, you do so inside of the tip of your nose, so that you feel the air at the tip of your nose rising slowly and gently, lifting your breath inside the tip of your nose upwards in the direction of the sky. Continually. As this version of my ascending breath healing method exemplifies, it is also very efficient to combine two or more breathing techniques at once to purify your breath in several parts of your breathing system at the same time. I often do so, and you can combine the two breathing methods in the palatine nevula and the tip of the nose easily and experience a deeper purification of your breath and a higher ascension of the frequency vibration of your whole breathing system. To end this ascending breath healing method and meditation, slowly rub the palms of your hands together. Slowly put your warm hands on your two eyes. Inhale and exhale slowly and profoundly through your nose, just once. Bring your two hands back to your heart center, palms pressed together, fingers pointing upwards, thumbs close to your chest in Anjali Mudra, and slowly open your eyes. Enjoy the beautiful feeling of inner calm, inner peace, inner strength, stability, and inner radiance that this breathing exercise has awakened in your heart, mind, and soul. And enjoy your beautiful smile inside and out. Now I will read to you an excerpt from The Green Witch, your complete guide to the natural magic of herbs, flowers, essential oils and more, by Arin Murphy Hiscock. It is the end of chapter 1, entitled What is Green Witchcraft? A brief history of green witchcraft. The practices of the modern green witch have arisen from folk healers and practitioners of folk magic. The modern green witch finds her foremothers and forefathers in village herbalists, midwives, healers, wise women, and cunning folk who performed particular services for their communities. The duties of these spiritual ancestors of the Green Witch usually included midwifery and preparation of the dead for burial, as well as the use of various plants to heal mind and body. These people possessed knowledge of both life and death. They knew what kind of witch flora could create both states of existence. These earlier green witches, while often respected, were more often feared or mistrusted because of the knowledge they held. They were often marginalized by their communities and lived alone or away from the social center of the community. Even today, society is often uncomfortable with those who possess knowledge not held by the common man. It is also likely, however, that the spiritual ancestors of the modern Green Witch chose to live apart from the center of the community because it is harder to hear what nature has to communicate to you when you are surrounded by people. Being closer to the forests and fields made it easier for the cunning folk to commune with the energies of the living world of green and to gather what they needed. Practitioners of folk magic, those who live on the second branch of the Green Witch's family tree, are not necessarily separate from the first. Sometimes the healers were also spellcasters who performed folk magic particular to the region, such as Pennsylvanian powwow, but more often they were just grandmothers who had a talent for fixing things. Folk magic is composed of traditions and practices that have been handed down in a geographic or culturally specific area. It generally focuses on divination for love and marriage, agricultural success, and weather prediction. Owen Davies, author of the fascinating Cunning Folk, Popular Magic in English History, explains that, as opposed to being healers, cunning folk originally dealt mainly with lifting bewitchments from people who believed themselves to be the victims of a curse or of some sort of spell. Witchcraft was the soil in which the careers of the cunning folk grew. When popular belief in witchcraft ended, the roles of the cunning folk ended as well. Similar paths. There are other modern paths that resemble the path of the Green Witch. Kitchen witches and hedge witches observe similar practices, and indeed, sometimes people use these terms interchangeably with green witchcraft. All three paths have three basic things in common. They are based in folk magic. They do not require a spiritual element, and walkers on all three paths tend to be solitary practitioners. Before we launch into a full examination of what constitutes the modern Green Witch's path, let's take a look at kitchen witchery and hedge magic and see how they are similar to and how they differ from one another. Kitchen witches who are family-oriented focus on magic performed in the heart of the modern home, the kitchen. The kitchen witch bases her magical practice in her everyday household activities and cooking, cleaning, baking, and so forth all become the foundation for her magical acts. Sweeping the floor free of dust and dirt may inspire a simultaneous cleansing of negative energy, for example. A kitchen witch works intuitively rather than ritually and may or may not keep track of how she works. Hedge witches, a term used more in the United Kingdom than in the United States, live close to nature, often away from urban areas. When you think of the classic wise woman on the edge of town who was visited for love charms and healing potions, you have a pretty decent idea of what a hedge witch is. The modern hedge witch is usually a solo practitioner of a neo-pagan path who uses spellcraft as a basis for her work. Modern practitioners often try to link their practice to some sort of history in order to create a sense of tradition. But that sense of tradition is not as important as the sense of self. This is particularly true of the Green Witch path. It is easy to look back and acknowledge the influences of the past on modern practice, but every Green Witch creates her own practice. There is no initiation, no adherence to a set of rules. Living the Green Path is really and truly a reflection on the Green Witch's inner light. The modern Green Witch. Despite its so-called progress, our modern society tends to look back to a simpler time. Even though pioneer days were probably harder and more isolated than life today. This yearning isn't nostalgia, which is a longing for an airbrushed memory. It is a genuine subconscious draw to knowledge that has been obscured by innovation, progress, and improvement. What we need to do is discover how to connect to that earlier knowledge that is waiting for us to find it again. The Green Witch serves as a bridge between past and present, new and old. The trick is to recognize the presence of green energy as it exists in the world today, to learn how to see it as it still operates. Learning to identify with the earth. The main identifying trait of green practice is a close identification with the earth. Although honoring the earth and being aware of the natural world is a large part of the majority of modern alternative spiritualities, the Green Witch is not necessarily a member of an alternative spiritual path. The main difference between the Green Path and the neo-pagan religions is that God forms are not an essential part of a Green Witch's practice. While the Green Witch is content to look to mythology and ancient religions in order to deepen personal understanding of how earth energy has been perceived throughout the ages, she does not necessarily worship the gods and goddesses that are expressions and representations of earth patterns and energy. The planet itself is an archetype of nurturing, but further refinement of that archetype is not necessary for the Green Witch. That being said, a Green Witch often finds a mythological figure, be it a deity or a hero, who resonates with her personal beliefs and energy. She finds inspiration in this mythological figure. This does not, however, lead to worship of that figure. Whereas alternative religions promote the idea that humanity is a steward or custodian of the planet, the Green Witch understands that she is the manifestation of the earth itself, not merely a caretaker. That close sense of identification allows her to work in partnership with the earth energies. Someone who honors the earth and considers the natural world her primary teacher is sometimes labeled a nature worshipper or called a pagan. In modern use, however, the terms are not generally pejorative. They describe people who honor the divine in nature. In New Age spiritual practice, the word pagan is being reclaimed by those whose spirits resonate to the heartbeat of the earth itself. So, is a green witch a pagan? Many are, but not all. The path of the green witch is not by definition a religious one. It is a spiritual path. Yes, but spirituality does not necessarily equate to religion. A green witch can participate in any religion and honor the divine in her own way, provided that she still honors nature as sacred and blessed. The green witch sees the divine in all of nature. And each green witch interprets that divinity a little bit differently. Celebrating life. Green witchcraft is an ongoing celebration of life. It is a dialogue with nature. A practice that enriches both the green witch and the earth itself. The exchange of energy produces manifold benefits that may be stated in simple terms. Through this dialogue, we heal the earth, and the earth heals us. We seek harmony through our actions. We look to balance energies that are askew. Like other earth-honoring paths, the roots of green witchcraft can be found in the agricultural calendar, seasonal shifts, weather patterns, and folk magic performed for health or fertility. Much of the modern neo-pagan practice comes from basic green witchcraft practice. Note that the word roots is key here. When something is rooted, it springs from a source, but it is still strong and anchored. To deny roots is to deny both foundation and strength. We may see only the trunk and the branches of a tree, but the root system ranges deep and wide. As green witchcraft is not a formal path, practitioners are free to adapt what they learn to what they need. This doesn't mean merely modifying practices created by someone else. It means adapting yourself to what needs to be done. It means being flexible and responsive to your needs and the needs of the earth. It's important to note that green witchcraft is not Wicca. Wicca is a formal, structured religion that sets out certain tenets and moral guidelines and whose followers celebrate certain rituals in certain ways. Green witchcraft is a flexible practice that has no set holidays and no compulsory rituals. The Green Witch is adaptable. She creates her own path according to her individual strengths and talents and the energies and supply native to her geographical locale. If you live in Massachusetts, for example, and then move to New Mexico, your practice will shift as you adapt to your new environment, the new flora and fauna around you, and the new energies of the landscape. You yourself will adapt as well. As you settle into a new relationship with the earth as it manifests in New Mexico, you will discover yourself evolving to reflect it in a different fashion than you reflected the environment of Massachusetts. The magic of being a Green Witch. Using the word witch invariably brings us to the word magic. This is a word that can cause confusion. Magic is not illusion, nor is it the artificial manipulation of unnatural forces. In fact, magic is perfectly natural. It is the use of natural energy with conscious intent and awareness to help attain a better understanding of the world around you and to harmonize yourself with the world's energies. Most Green Witches find the use of the word magic to be irrelevant. Magic implies something out of the ordinary. But to a Green Witch, the mundane is magical. When she senses, responds to, and gently nudges the flows of natural energy around her, nothing could be more natural. She's performing natural magic. Nature itself is magical. The everyday is sacred to the Green Witch. Marianne Green, the author of Wild Witchcraft and follower of a path sympathetic to the Green Witch philosophy that embraces natural magic and hedgecraft, states that magic is the art of learning to recognize these elements of change, the natural patterns of flow and ebb, the times of progress, of standing still, and of retreating. Magic teaches us to determine which way the tides of nature are flowing, to see on which level they run, and what they can offer each of us at this moment. In Green's view, magic is learning to harmonize yourself with the forces of nature and understanding how they flow through your life. This is, of course, the life work of the Green Witch in a nutshell. Spellcraft is seen as a perfectly natural occurrence along the green path. Is brewing a cup of rosemary tea for a headache a spell? Or is it natural medicine? To the Green Witch, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is the conscious use of the energies of the rosemary to help heal a temporary imbalance. It is the connection to the natural world and the acknowledgement that we are all a part of that world that allows us to function as a link between the world of people and the world of green. In short, by opening yourself to the energy of nature and by accepting that you are a part of that grand symphony of energy and power, you allow yourself to partake of that energy to rebalance your life. Then you can work to rebalance the energies of other situations. In other witchcraft practices, there are methods by which energy is raised, aimed at a target or goal, and released. The Green Witch uses energy in a slower, more subtle way, seeking to be a part of the ebb and flow of the energy around her. She thus does not deliberately collect energy to shape and release. The Green Witch works from the inside out and moves with the natural flow of the energies instead of seeking to manipulate them. Using the word magic can lead you to view your Green Witch work as something set apart. In this book, there are no rules for creating a magic circle in which you must work. No compulsory calling on deities, no sequences of formal ritual that must be enacted precisely as written. The practice of the Green Witch is a fluid, natural, personal practice, one that informs every moment of every day. It is important to recognize each moment as magical and full of potential. Everything is magical, in the sense that it is wondrous and unique. Every breath, every step, every stir of your soup, every act is an act of magic. The magic is life itself. This knowledge must be balanced by the understanding that as a Green Witch you carry a sacred responsibility, not only to watch over the harmony of your environment, but also to remember that, as author Poppy Palin says in Craft of the Wild Witch, every positive gesture has the potential to become a spell. However, there is a danger in the practice of green witchcraft that familiarity may breed contempt. Recognizing each moment as magical and full of potential, the Green Witch may end up desensitizing herself to the point where no moment is special. Beware of falling into this rut. Allow yourself to marvel frequently at the joy and power of nature as the seasons cycle through the year, at the beautiful and frightful aspects of sunsets and storms. Every moment is magical because it holds potential, but also because it is merely a moment. The mundane is sacred to the Green Witch because it is mundane. The word mundane itself is derived from the Latin mundus, meaning of the material world, and it is the energy created by the material world that sources the Green Witch's power. Oath of the Green Witch. Fundamentally, green witchcraft is an attitude, an approach to life. However, there also exists the opportunity to explore the green path through personal ritual and the creation of spells and charms. Ritual offers you the opportunity to attune your personal energy to the energy around you in a more structured manner and to experience the natural energy of your surroundings in a different way than you do in your everyday life. If you recognize yourself and your beliefs in the previous pages, then perhaps the path of the Green Witch is calling to you. If you wish to formally declare yourself to be on this path and to live the green life, you can take this oath or use it as a basis for writing your own more personal version. You may address a deity, as in this example and elsewhere in this book, or leave it out as you prefer. Lord and Lady, spirits of nature, elements around me, bless me as I walk the path of the Green Witch. May my every action be for the good of all, for humanity and nature alike. Bring me wisdom and peace, serenity and balance as I walk this path. Grant me the confidence to do the work you require of me, and strength to bear the burdens life asks of me. I swear to guard the soul of nature, to work with nature, to honor nature and all who compose nature's multitude. These things I promise, and this I ask of you, on this day, in this place, as a green witch, I so swear. If you wish, you can make this pledge anew each year at a time meaningful to you. At the beginning or end of each season, for example, to reaffirm your commitment to your path and way of life. Chapter 4 looks at the four seasons and various activities or rituals you can perform to further attune yourself to the changing energies of the yearly cycle, making this oath part of one or all four seasonal celebrations can keep your commitment fresh in your mind and spirit. Prayer of the Green Witch. If the idea of a daily prayer appeals to you, this is a lovely way to begin or end your day. Try praying aloud or in your heart in a space that is sacred to you, one that is either formally blessed and consecrated or simply blessed by use in daily life. Lord and Lady, spirits of nature, elements around me, bless me as I move through the world today. May I bring joy and tranquility to every life I touch. May my actions bring only harmony to the world. May I heal pain and soothe anger. May I create joy and balance as I walk my path. Support me and guide me, spirits of nature, this day and all days ahead of me. This I ask of you as a green witch, and thank you for your many blessings. The practice of the Green Witch doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, fancy tools or complicated rituals. Perhaps, more than any other path of witchcraft, the path of the Green Witch rests on your philosophy of living and how you interact with the world around you. For this reason, your prayers, the rituals you perform, and your sacred space must be personally meaningful. Creating a personal practice that accurately reflects who you are and your desire to work to create harmony in the world around you is the key to living a satisfying and fulfilling life as a Green Witch. Thank you, dear beautiful hearts, from the center of my heart, for your presence, your time, and your love again today. I hope that these two ascending breath healing methods and the wisdom of the Green Witch will heal, soothe, and comfort you, and I wish you love, light, and universal harmony always from the center of my heart. Have a wonderful day or night, and until my next episode, my soul honors your soul. I honor the place in you where the entire universe resides. I honor the light, love, truth, beauty, and peace within you, because it is also within me. In sharing these things, we are unified. We are the same. We are one. Namaste. And also, I want to share with you my feelings about a very beautiful musical inspiration I received from the band Elbow, whose song Lullaby I made a harp cover of in episode 21. They are my favorite band right now. I really love all their music. Their poetry and melodies are just so beautiful, soothing, uplifting, and energizing. They give me real joy and pure beauty through their musical harmony. And Guy Garvey, the singer, is so sensual and sweet and just wonderful. I love him very much, and I'm very grateful to him because he has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. His voice feels like a whole universe of harmony, generosity, wisdom, kindness, and tenderness. Just pure poetic breath and beauty and pure loving masculine energy. Plus he's Irish and I love Ireland very much, so he's very close to my heart. So you should listen to Elbow. It will truly illuminate your heart and soul with the purest harmony. Namaste. Lots of teddy bear hugs to all of you, and thank you so much for listening.